Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Into the Word today. I want to preach a sermon to you today called Return on Investment. Everybody say that. Say return on investment. Let me define to you what that is, okay? That is a term that we use in our culture today regarding, you know, when you invest in the stock market or in a business or in something. Let me define it to you. Return on investment is a performance measure used to evaluate the efficiency or profitability of an investment or compare the efficiency of a number of different investments. ROI tries to directly measure the amount of return on a particular investment relative to the investment's costs. Okay? Simply put, here's what it is. What are you getting for what you give? What are you getting for what you give? It's amazing what people will do to ensure financial stability, to ensure that they're getting a good return on their investment, right? They're making the right decisions, but will not, it's amazing what some people will not do to ensure their spiritual return, their physical well-being, right? People will set up meetings with financial advisors. People will read charts and articles and watch news reports and wake up every morning and check their app and where's my stocks and how's it doing and is it good? Is it profiting? Is it losing? Should I trade it? Should I move it over here? Should I invest in this company? All to ensure that their investment will bring about a better return and they can better themselves financially. But as Jesus said, what profit is it if a man gains the entire world but loses his soul? What good is it? If you get everything, if you attain all of the riches, if you get everything that you could ever possibly imagine within this life, within the parameters of this world and everything that you could get, what good is it if you lose your soul? Now, I'm not against financial investments at all. In fact, the Bible actually teaches on how to make wise investments. You can find that in the book of Ecclesiastes. But as a shepherd, I want to encourage you today and challenge you to make sure that you are not just investing in your financial well-being, but you are investing in your spiritual well-being. Because one day, all of this earth is going to fade away. Every penny you earn is going to burn. Every single thing that you put your hand to on this earth, though it may be good, though it may be great, it's all going to fade away. And the only thing that's going to matter one day is your soul. Did you invest in your spiritual well-being? Because you can't buy your way into heaven. You can't earn your way into the kingdom of God. So we need to be focused, and I want to encourage you today to invest spiritually. I want to ask you, what are you investing, not just spiritually, but what are you investing in the physical temple that God has given you? It's important that we take care of this body. Okay? You can't live on caffeine and sugar alone. You got to make sure that you're investing the right thing, depositing the right thing, so that you can return the right thing. Amen? Jesus actually taught on ROI, return on investment. Here's his philosophy on it. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. They'll have it on the screen for you if you don't have your Bible today. Jesus said, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, and to make room for more running over, poured into your lap." Listen to this. This is very important. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. The amount you give, what you give will determine what you get. Just like in the stock market, just like in a natural sense, what you give, if you buy in bigger, you have the chance for a bigger return. It's the same thing in the kingdom. As we give, so it will determine what we get back. As we invest in our walk with Christ, as we invest in our prayer life, as we invest in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to pour into us, that will determine the type of return that we get as a Christian, as a believer, as a child of God. Let me give you a truth of this morning. There can be no return unless there's first an investment. You cannot get a return. Never will you earn money on a stock that you didn't buy. And in the same way, in the spirit, there can be no return on your life spiritually unless you first sow a seed and invest. Okay? If you aren't receiving a return that is profitable and desirable, you need to check your investments. What I mean by that, if you don't like what's coming in, check what's going out. If you don't like what you're receiving, change what you're sowing. We've talked about that before. There are so many people who attend church on a regular basis that are frustrated with God. You know why? They're mad that He's not giving them what they want. They're mad that there's no blessing on their life, even though they're showing up to church and they got a Christian bumper sticker and they listen to Christian music and they call themselves a Christian, but they're mad because they're not getting anything out of it and they're frustrated with the current condition of their life. There's no favor. There's no blessing. There's no prosperity. There's no miracles. There's no unction. There's no anointing. I'm not getting anything, but God, I'm a Christian. And they're sitting in church every single week mad at God because they're like, where are you? You're not holding up your end of the deal. But the reality is that being a Christian will always cost you something. And if you aren't willing to give, then you won't get. You've got to invest in order to get a return. It's not just about calling yourself a Christian. People live frustrated because they think, I'm not getting any return from God. But listen what Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He said, if anybody wants to be my disciple... He didn't notice that the term Christian was invented actually not by Christians, but for Christians. Okay? Christians didn't say, hey guys, let's call ourselves Christians. They just acted like Jesus and somebody else said, hey look, they're Christians. They're little Christ. They're little anointed ones. Jesus's term for Christian is actually disciple. Because in order to be discipled, you must be open to discipline and to give and to not just focus on getting. So Jesus said, if anybody desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's Jesus's script for being a Christian, for being a disciple. Notice, though, this is very important. It's not just a one-time decision. He said, if anybody desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. How often? Daily. Not once a week. Not once a month, not once a year, not one time when you were 15, you felt really bad about that joint that you smoked, and so you came down and you prayed a prayer and you got everything right, and then you just went back on about your life. He's talking about every single day investing in your walk with Jesus Christ, coming after Him. It's not a one-time decision. So I want to encourage you today to daily invest in your walk with Christ. I believe that the church would be stronger, your family would be stronger, and our community would be stronger if each and every person took their faith seriously and invested in it every single day. If you would invest in your Christianity like you invest time in Facebook, you'd be a lot stronger Christian. If you would invest time in prayer the way you invest time in Netflix and Prime Video, you would be a better Christian. Now, I'm not trying to hate on anybody. I'm trying to help some people today. Because you're frustrated. Where's the investment? I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. But are you investing in your Christianity, or are you just labeling yourself as a Christian? In order to grow in Christ, there must be prayer, daily study of the Word, worship, fasting, acts of service. It's not just going to happen. In order to grow, it takes effort, it takes time, it takes discipline, it takes investment. So that's why so many people sit in church and live Monday through Saturday frustrated, wondering where the blessing's at. Where's the favor at? Why am I not getting those benefits that the Bible talks about, that the pastor talks about? Why am I not living the life that I thought I would live when I came to Christ? Because everyone is not invested at the same level. If you look at somebody that's blessed, trust me, they've invested more than you can see or maybe will ever know. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul taught us, and he said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He's not just talking about money. He's talking about time. He's talking about passion. He's talking about love. He's talking about faith. Whatever you sow, invest, that's what you're going to reap. That's what is going to yield a return. But churchgoers want to reap where they haven't sown. They want to go, they want to pick off the pastor's land. They want to pick off of the person sitting next to them in the pews land. They want to, the TV preacher and this person and that person. They just want to reap where they have it sown. But if you want to yield a harvest in your life personally, you're going to have to start sowing some seeds of investment. You're going to have to start praying more. You're going to have to start studying more. And it's not a legalistic thing of I have to, but you have to have an understanding is you cannot just get by on everybody else's investment. Okay? That's called a freeloader. And it doesn't work that way. Right? If you want the benefits of Christianity, then you're going to have to live like a Christian, not just act like a Christian. You got to live like a Christian. There's so many people that are acting out their Christianity, and they should get Academy Awards. Just doing a great job. In fact, let's give them a hand. Let's give everybody, let's give the fake Christians a hand. Just, it's sad that there are so many people that are faking Christianity. You know why? Because Christianity will always cost you daily sacrifice. But the return always outweighs the investment. Just like any good investment. What makes an investment good? Higher profits. Bigger returns, right? Christianity is the greatest investment that you could possibly make because you will have an eternal reward for what you invest while you are here on this earth. A Christian life is defined by obedience to God. That's the greatest definition I can give you for a life of Christianity, is that you're obedient to Him. You won't find a better return on investment than when you obey God. Yeah. To obey is greater than sacrifice. In fact, though, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says this, bodily exercise profits a little. Okay? It's good to take care of your body. But godliness is profitable for all things, for the life now and the life that is to come. So when you invest in godliness, you're not just investing for today or tomorrow. You are investing in eternity with Christ. Okay? Yeah. Going to the gym is like making an investment in your body, right? Some people have greater rewards than others. As you see, where they go to the gym, they work out. And it's like investing in your body. And it profits a little bit, meaning it's good to do. It's good to take care of your body. There's nothing wrong with it. It's encouraged. It's great. But godliness is profitable not just in how we look, but in how we feel, how we act, how we conduct ourselves, how we treat other people. It's profitable in all things, meaning it will always bring a return for our investment. When you invest in godliness, that word godliness, I love this. It means someone's inward response to the things of God. He says someone's response to the things of God is always profitable. When you respond to God's word, it's going to be profitable in your life. When you respond to a prophecy that you receive, it's going to be profitable in your life. When you respond to a nudge of the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, it's going to bring about profitability. It's going to be a great return on your investment. So I want to ask you today, how do you respond to what He has given you? Meaning, what are you doing with the salvation you've received? Okay? What are you doing with the forgiveness that He's extended to you? Are you investing back into it, or are you just holding on to it? Are you investing it into others? Because I want to look at a parable today that Jesus told in the book of Matthew chapter 25. In a moment, we'll turn there because it describes perfectly what we are talking about. So if you have your Bible, hold it up. Everybody thought I'd forgotten this. I didn't. I'm just doing it later today. Hold it up and say, I am what His word says I am. I can do what His word says I can do. I can be who His word says I can be. So today, I'll receive His word, I'll obey His word, because I love His word. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. We're going, as some people say, make this sermon legal today by reading out of the scripture. I believe that we should always preach the word of God and not philosophies, not ideologies, not thoughts, but we need to preach the word of God because it is the perfect guide for our life. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read verses 14 through 30. This is a very large chunk of scripture, but it's important that we receive all of the information in this text so that we can properly break down what Jesus is telling us as believers regarding the return that we will receive for the investment that we make in our life. So let's read this together, picking up in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25. I'm actually going to read this in the New Living Translation. Normally I read from the New King James Version of the ESV, but this particular parable, I believe, is broken down so well in the NLT. I want to read it. It will be on the screen if you want to follow along in that manner. Verse 14, Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of money began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with the 2 bags of silver went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more.' The master was full of praise. 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more.' The master said, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling a small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew that I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why then didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least it could have gotten some interest on it.' Then he ordered, 'Take away from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want you to note that this parable, I think, may be the most important parable that Jesus ever told. I talk about this parable all the time because Jesus isn't just talking about money in this parable. He is using it to determine the type of life that he expects and longs for from his servants. Because every single one of us have been given gifts, abilities, talents, finances, you know, personality, life, health, what we have. He has given to each and every one of us something that we possess. He has given that to each and every one of us. And I want to begin by pointing out that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, okay? And this is a parable, and he's teaching us how we should live our lives in his kingdom, how we should live our lives as sons and daughters. And notice that there were 2 servants that chose to invest what the master had given them wisely and to conduct their lives, you know, in a manner that would yield a return. And there was one that just put it in the ground. He didn't do anything with it. He was scared. He was afraid. And unfortunately, this is how most people treat their Christianity. They received salvation from God, and they hid it in the ground. They don't do anything with it. Nothing to cultivate it. Nothing to work on it. Nothing. You know, the Bible says, work out your own salvation, both with fear and with trembling. But most people, with their salvation, their Christianity, their relationship with God, there's no investment made. There's no effort given. There's no passion. They just say a prayer one day and hope that eventually they'll go to heaven. They go to church, but they never tithe, they never serve, they never attend further discipleship classes or opportunities or get involved. They identify as a Christian, but they never stand up against anything that defies morality or biblical living or Christianity. But if you mess with their American freedom, they'll let you know all about it. I want to remind you, I haven't said this in a while, you're a Christian before you're an American. Amen. And I love America. But there are so many people that identify as a Christian simply because they are American. And they will not in any way stand up and be unashamed of the gospel, but they will fight you tooth and nail if you try to take away any of their American freedoms. There are people that call God their friend, but they never invest time in prayer or studying the Word. What kind of friend is that? What kind of friend are you if you never call, you never text? When you see them, you hide from them instead of seeking them out to find them so that you can grow in relationship with them. There are people that call Jesus Lord, but they don't allow him to command their life or tell them no. Listen, if he can't tell you no, he isn't your Lord. Okay? He's a shrine of religious obligation that you hold somewhere within your heart, but he is not your Lord if he can't tell you no, if he can't command your life. There are so many people that take the gift of salvation as a get out of jail free card and they hide it in the ground. They never do anything to grow on it. Listen, if Jesus just wanted you to get saved, you'd die the second you got saved.
That's right.
But he came to give you life, and life more abundantly, a greater life, a fuller life. But in order to have greater and fuller, we have to give and invest. Remember Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis? It says that God was pleased with Abel's offering, but he was not pleased with Cain's offering. Why? This is the simple version of the story. Abel's offering was better. That's why. God was honored with Abel and by Abel's offering, but not with Cain's. Why? All because Abel brought a pleasing offering to God and Cain did not. It was about what they invested that decided whether or not God was pleased with their offering. Abel gave sacrificially, meaning he didn't give. And I want to point this out to you. And everybody gets mad when the pastor starts talking about money. They didn't give based on what was, Abel didn't give based on what was left over. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of your increase. Okay? Tithing, in my opinion, is not do I have enough left over after I pay my bills to tithe. Tithing to me is the first fruit. The first thing that comes out of my paycheck is going to God. And then he lets me keep 90% of it. Yeah. Trust me, if you'll give him the 10, he'll multiply the 90. Why? Because there will be a return on investment. Remember what Jesus said we read earlier in the book of Luke. Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and more will return running over to you. The amount that you give will determine what you get. Okay? So God respected Abel's offering. And when you invest in God, trust me, he will respond.
Yeah.
Just like the two servants that he gave bags of silver to and to invest. And they invested what he gave them. The one that got two gained two more. The one that had five, he got five more. And then he got even the one of the guy that hid his because he had invested properly. So what was the master's response to the two that invested well? He said, well done. You've been faithful in handling a little. Now I will give you more responsibilities. That's what I look, when I look at like 12 bushels, and it's like, we had 16 people come through. I want to be faithful in loving, praying for, giving to those 16 people. Because if we will be faithful in that, God will multiply it and make us steward over much. Listen, everything that you do in your life is an investment. And God sees it. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. Even if nobody else sees it, the prayers that you pray, the thoughts that you think, the meditations of your heart, God's looking at them and he sees them as an investment. And he is going to return to you based on the investment that you make. Because those two were faithful to invest what they were given, they were rewarded with more. He said, you've been faithful in a little. I will reward you with what? More. I think this is so funny. He said, I'll reward you with more responsibility. You have earned the right to have more responsibility. I want you, church, to live in the life of more. More favor, more anointing, more opportunities, more blessings, more benefits, more miracles. But you'll never reach more if you don't invest what you have. You can't reap a harvest tomorrow if you don't plant a seed today. It makes me think about the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he said, hey, I want to get into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, okay, follow the commandments. And he said, I've done what commandments are you talking about? Just tell me. And Jesus told him the commandments. And he said, I've followed all these since my youth. In other words, I'm perfect concerning the law and all these commandments. And Jesus said, okay, one more thing. There's only one thing you're lacking. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. It's interesting. Jesus did not tell every single person that ever came to him to do this. Right. Some people look at this scripture and they go, well, if I haven't sold everything I have and gave it to the poor, then I'm not really a Christian. Jesus didn't tell every single person that came to him to do this. Right. It was because what this man had mattered more to him than anything else. Yeah. It had a hold on him. His possessions were possessing him. And so Jesus said, okay, this is the only thing you're lacking, young man. You go sell everything that you have and you give it to the poor. And the Bible says that he went away with his head hung low because he had many possessions. He wasn't willing to invest what he had so that he could get a return. Because what was he seeking? The kingdom of heaven. Yeah. And Jesus said, this is what you have to do. But he went away lacking. But on the contrast, there are other people in Scripture that were willing to invest, and they got a return. Makes you think about the young boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's at the teaching of Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, to his disciples, feed these people. And they say, we don't have any food to feed these people. And Jesus said, well, we don't have anything. And they said, well, there's this one little guy here, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is that amongst so many? I'll tell you what it is. It's an investment that God will multiply and he will use, and all you might have in your life is 5 little loaves and 2 little fish. But if you'll say, God, here's my 5 loaves, here's my 2 fish, I'll invest to you what I do have, even though it doesn't look like enough, it doesn't feel like enough, but what I have is yours to use. He will take it. He will bless it. He will break it, and he will multiply it, not just for the betterment of your life, but for everybody around you to be blessed, because there will be a return on your investment. It's like Elijah, as he was being led by God through a drought. There was no food. There was no water anywhere. And God led him to the brook Cherith. And he was fed by ravens. And there was water there. But then when it dried up, God said, I want you to go to the widow that is in Zarephath. Elijah shows up. She's out there gathering up sticks. And he says, hey, what are you doing? She says, well, I'm going to make a fire. I'm going to make some bread with the last bit of oil and flour I got, and then my son and I are going to die. That's what I have on schedule for today. Other than that, I'm pretty open, right? But that's what I'm planning to do. And Elijah said, okay, go ahead, but make me something first. In that moment, she could have said, excuse me? Get off my lawn, right? Like, you're crazy. I just told you all I have is enough for us, and you're trying to demand that I give it to you, but you know what she did? The Bible says she yielded at his word, and she went in and she kneaded a little cake up, a little bit of dough with that flour that she had and that oil that she had, and she baked it and she gave it to Elijah, and her flour bin and her jar of oil never ran dry. You know why? Because she gave what she had. She gave. So many times we're like, if God would bless me, I'd give. If God would open up the door in this area, I'd give. And it makes me think of another story with Elisha. There's a woman that the creditors are coming to take her children because her husband left her with debts. And Elisha said, what do you have in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing but a jar of oil. Sometimes your nothing is enough. Yeah. She said, I don't have anything. Meaning, I don't have anything of value. I don't have anything that the world would look at and think is a lot or is great or is abundant, but I do have this jar of oil. And Elisha said, that's good. Go borrow vessels and fill them up. Don't borrow just a few. And the Bible says that she went in behind her, she shut the door, and she poured oil in this jar, and oil in this jar, and oil in this jar, and she just kept pouring and pouring and pouring, and the jars ran out before the oil ran out, because she was obedient to use what she had. She sold all of it, paid off her debts, and lived on the rest of it. Yeah. God is a God of more than enough. If you will give him your little jar of oil, if you will give him your flour bin, there's barely enough to make one more cake in there, if you'll give him your 5 loaves and your 2 fish, he will multiply it to the greatest extent. But I think about this. What if they would have said no? What if the boy would have said, nah, no, mama wouldn't want me to give my 5 loaves and my 2 fish away, because then I'd have to go hungry. What if the widow would have followed through with her plan, she would have eaten her bread with her son, and they would have died. They would have stayed within the boundaries of their current conditions. But if you want to see God extend the boundaries of your current condition, you need to start investing. Give him everything that you have. You may say, I don't have anything. And I would say, you have a heart, don't you? Yeah. That's what he wants more than anything. Yeah. He wants you more than anything. Trust him with it. Listen, he won't ruin you. He won't drop you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Give him what you've got. Don't be like the third servant. Yeah. Don't be like the rich young ruler. Even what the third servant had was taken away from him. When you're afraid to invest, you'll end up losing even that. Yeah. But if you will give, it will be given back unto you. I've never known anyone to regret time that they spent investing in their walk with Christ. Right. I've never heard a story of somebody on their deathbed saying, you know what? I wish I wouldn't have spent so much time reading the Bible. I wish I wouldn't have prayed so much. Yeah. I wish I would have skipped more services and done more fishing. I wish I would have missed more church. Nobody ever says things like that. And I like to look at this way. You can waste time worrying, or you can invest time praying. That's the way that it works. Time you spend worrying is time you waste. But time you spend praying, you're investing in your walk with God. You're investing in your current situation. You're investing in your children as you pray over them. You're investing in your job. You're investing in your marriage. You're investing in the anointing that God has placed on your life. You're investing in the call that God has placed on your life. As you pray and as you seek him and as you read his word and as you go harder after him, you are investing and you're going to see a return. Amen? I'll begin to close with this scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is not a rewarder of those who hide it in the ground. He is not a rewarder of those who are lethargic, lazy, apathetic Christians. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word rewarder means one who pays wages. He will pay you for your investment. Yeah, that's right. He will pay you for your seeking. And I'm not just talking about dollar signs and commas and zeros. I'm talking about he will reward you according to the way that you seek him. And I want to encourage you today, be intentional to invest in your relationship with Jesus this week. He's not a distant God. He's an intimate friend. Amen. Talk to him. Listen to him. Pray. Study. You'll never regret time spent with him. You know what he'll do? He'll reward you. Now, it may not always be rewards that you see or you comprehend. It may manifest itself in different ways, but he is faithful and all his promises are yes and amen. So, amen. So trust him. In your seeking, in your serving, in your giving, in your studying, in your prayer, in your devotion, realize that he is going to bring a return for the investment that you give. The best return that you can get for investing is more of him. That's the real prize. And it makes me think about David. Not long after David became king over Israel, he'd already been reigning over Judah for a while, but when he became king over all of Israel, one of his first acts of business was, we're going to go get the Ark of the Covenant, right? It had been resting at Obed-Edom's house, and everything that Obed-Edom had was blessed. His life was just overflowing with blessings. Why? Because where the presence of God is, the provision of God will also be, okay? So David says, I'm going to go get the presence of God. And David didn't just go take it from Obed's house. He invested in the process of getting the presence back to Jerusalem. Here's how I know. He didn't care what it cost. Every six steps from Obed-Edom's house to Jerusalem, they stopped and they sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. What was David doing? He was investing. He wasn't just saying, I'm going to get the presence because I'm a man after God's own heart and he loves me and I'm favored and I'm blessed and I want the blessing that Obed-Edom's got, so we're going to take this thing. He didn't treat the presence of God as if it was something to take, but he invested in it. Yeah. He gave towards it. He was saying, I'm going to give out of what I have. I'm going to, every 6 steps, I'm going to stop and I'm going to make a sacrifice. And it wasn't just animals that he sacrificed. David danced before the Lord in an undignified manner with all of his might. He was investing. He was sowing seeds that would be returned to him over the course of his kingship. Yeah. You want to know why David was so blessed? He was one of the richest kings to ever live. So powerful. No one ever defeated him while he was in kingship. You know why? Because he invested in the presence of God. Because he invested in his relationship with God. He put an emphasis on having the presence of God in Israel. If you will put an emphasis on having the presence of God in your home, trust me, he will bring a return and a blessing on your life. There will be protection like you've never known. There will be provision like you've never known. There will be peace like you've never known. There will be hope like you've never known. Make his presence your passion. Amen. Don't allow the distractions of the world to pull you away. He is a rewarder of those who, what? Diligently seek him. So don't stop. Don't hide your passion. Even when David's wife tried to shame him for the way he was passionately dancing before God, he said, "Woman, I'll be even more undignified than this." Meaning, you're not going to stop me right here. You think you've seen me be crazy. I'll show you crazy. Because what the presence of God possesses is greater than what you think about me. I'm not going to allow it to determine. So I'm going to tell you this. We're going to end with this. I know I said I was closing earlier. Now I'm really closing. The servant, the evil servant, back over in the book of Matthew, what was his response when the master asked him to give an account? He said, "I was afraid, so I hid it." He was living in fear. I want to encourage you, don't live in fear. Yes. Because fear will keep you from truly investing. Fear of what others think, fear of failure. What if it doesn't work? What if I waste my time? Put your trust in the rewarder. Hebrews 11:6, he's a rewarder. That word rewarder, one of the definitions is remunerator, okay? And that word remunerator means this: one who pays wages, which we said earlier, or restores losses. He will not just reward you for your investment to him, but he will pay back anything that the enemy has stolen from your life. Anything that in your past the enemy took from you, the enemy stole from you, the enemy robbed you of, he will restore it if you will begin to invest in him fresh and new. You know why some people don't invest in the stock market anymore? Because they lost all their money in it one time. Because they made a bad investment. They got a bad tip. So they moved all their money into this one stock and it crashed. Maybe it was in 08. Maybe it was just a company that flopped. But people get so burned and they're like, "I'm not touching that anymore." Why? Because of one bad investment. Listen, there's no such thing as a bad investment in the kingdom of God. If you will invest your time, your efforts, your faith, your emotion, your everything that you have, your finances into the kingdom of God, there will be a return on your investment. So don't let your failures of the past keep you from investing now. He's a solid investment. He won't crash. He won't fall off the throne. He won't lose value. He will be faithful to the end, and he will restore what the enemy has stolen from you. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me today? I want to pray over you today that the Lord would remind you throughout the week and help you to invest in him. I'm telling you, we have gotten so far away from prayer and study of the word. Yeah. It's sad that there are people that consider themselves Christians that don't read the Bible. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to shame you. But I believe that as a Christian, I should long to read his word. I should wake up excited to read the Bible. Not I've got to read the Bible. I get to read the Bible. Listen, I've said this for weeks. Prayer is not something you have to do. It's a gift from God. He didn't have to give you access to him. And there's so many people that are like, "Nah, I don't want it." Why? Because it takes time. It takes effort. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Some people, they don't like praying and they've never even tried praying. We need to be people of prayer, because you don't realize you're investing. When you pray over your children's life, listen, I try to pray every single day for my children, for their future spouse, for the call of God that's on their life, because I have a responsibility as a parent to invest in their future. They're not just pretty little things that I take pictures of and post pictures of on Facebook so that everybody can say, oh, you have a beautiful family. They're a gift from God. Amen. That you have the opportunity to invest in them for future generations to come. Amen? Amen. So if you want to receive this prayer today, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, lift your hands, and I just want to pray over you today. God, I pray that you would give us the understanding. Open our eyes to see what we have not been seeing. God, that we would invest in our walk with you. Yes. Through our prayer, yes. Through our reading, God, not because we have to do it in a legalistic way, but because we realize that there's a reward for those who diligently seek you. But God, we don't seek you for the reward. We seek you for relationship with you. God, we want your presence. I just, right now, I encourage you, just invite the presence of God in your life and in your home. God, we want this house, this church, to be a place of your presence. God, we want our homes to be a place of your presence. And God, let us have an attitude like David, that we would not offer to God anything that doesn't cost us something. That we would say, I'm bringing the presence of God into my house no matter what it costs me. If I've got to cut off this relationship, if I've got to cut off this entertainment source, if I've got to cut off this addiction, if I've got to cut off whatever it is, God, we say, none of it matters. We want to go after you more than anything. And I thank you that the greatest reward that we could ever get or receive is you. And we don't have to earn you, but you gave us relationship with you. And because of that relationship, we say no to the things of this world and yes to the things of God. I pray a grace over your people, Lord. I pray there would be the remembrance. I pray the Holy Spirit would remind them of this word throughout the week, and that we would invest not just in our relationship, but we would invest in others, God. Godly relationships, that we would invest in the lost so that we could see them be saved, that we would plant seeds of righteousness in their life, God. We surrender ourselves to you and we honor you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.